Welcome to East Hills Alliance Church. We are everyday people following Jesus every day.
Good morning, everyone. I'm much more used to being up there singing than I am here in this space. It is good to be with you this morning. I love that I can look out in this sea of faces and consider you family. And I can't think of a better place to be, in all honesty. I'm just going to pray real quick as we get started again. Just calm in my heart. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here's one prayer also, the tech. You know, you always want the tech to work right. So, oh good, it's right there. I'm going to take you into a story. It's a beautiful September Saturday morning, early fall. They're gorgeous around here. School has been in session for about a month. It's chore day for Emma, the 33-year-old mother of an 18-month-old and bonus daughter of 8 years old. And she is at the house with them while her husband is out archery hunting with his son. As a toddler is taking an unusual morning nap, Emma showers and gets ready for the rest of the day. As she walks out onto the landing by her bedroom, she notices that her right arm is tingly, and she instinctively knows that she can't speak. Over the next few hours, she will have EMTs in her small TV room talking about her like she's hardly there. What should we do with her? We have a bus.
Ambulance
outside. Take her to the hospital? She would have an ER nurse say to her at the hospital, "If I didn't know you and know your family, I would say this is drug-related." And in the coming days, she will find out that she has had a stroke that has affected her speech and verbal processing center in her brain and discovers what it is like to have a disability and how it feels to be treated differently by others. My name is Marianne Whitaker, and I have the honor of being the executive secretary on the board of this church. Josh asked me to share some thoughts this morning as he has had a front row seat to a number of unexpected events in my life over the past 10 years. But there have been significant unexpected throughout my adult life, as illustrated by Emma's story. Emma is me. As I was planning for this time together, Josh asked me to do this almost 6 months ago. So I've had a lot of time to cogitate and plan over what are the pieces that he would have me share. And one of the most important things to me was that, two things. One is that this is not about me. This is about God's story through me. And the other thing is that the things that I share this morning, if you're going through some really difficult unexpected, the things that I share with you about how I chose or have chosen to deal with them or God has taken me through them, I don't want to diminish the importance of the things that are hard for you. We all grow through unexpected things in our life. My wish, my desire, my hope is maybe I can give you some little pieces that may make that journey a little easier, a little better, places to turn to. So, as a bit of context, my family, I was the oldest of three girls. My mom and dad, my mom was a teacher by vocation. My dad was a mechanical engineer, but by trade was an industrial engineer. So he was a mill worker over at WANA, helped design that building. My childhood, by all accounts, was idyllic. There is nothing that was major. We lived in a nice neighborhood. We played kick the can. Church was a very important part of our family life. Sunday school, vacation Bible school, the whole shebang. We went on camping trips as a family. We traveled. I got the travel bug from my parents. My parents have been together for 65 years this summer, which is pretty impressive. As an identity, as I was growing up, I excelled in school, loved music, loved to read. And I found that getting straight A's was a passion for me. That was something I could do really well. And so I worked hard at that, which kind of led to some perfectionistic tendencies that maybe not so healthy. We're working on recovering from those. So given the stability of my life, I was very security driven. I'm a planner. I'm a people pleaser. And I have some control issues. For as long as I can remember, I knew how my life was going to go. It worked for my parents, so why wouldn't it work for me? They went to college. They got married, they had jobs, they had kids, and then retired. Nope. That's not going to be my story. Well, it is to a point, but as I share some of my own unexpected events in my life, I also want to reflect on some of the same type of events from the Bible. Let's take a look at Lazarus for a minute. Pretty sure most of you know that story. Friend of Jesus who was ill, and his family begged Jesus to come and heal him, but Jesus waited. So let's see what it says in John 11. So I'm going to start at verse 11 and go through 27. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I'm not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." So I wonder, would the story have been as powerful if Jesus had done what was expected by his followers and Lazarus's family? Had he kept Lazarus from dying? I love how Martha reminds us of the faith that she had and allows us to lean into that also when we're in our times of unexpecteds, our Goliaths in our life. But Jesus used that experience, that episode, and every other miracle, event, storm, and story to create and reveal his ultimate power and love to us, to those who witnessed around him. It would have been a ripple effect to those around him on all the way down through time, as we get to experience that now. Might our stories and unexpecteds reveal God's power and love for us, even if our situations don't have a happy ending? So how did God choose to reveal me, to reveal himself to me through my stroke? First of all, I could sing before I could speak. My stroke was on the left side of my brain, which is where your speech center is, but singing is a creative activity, so it occurs in the right side of your brain. I was able to sing in church 2 months after my stroke. And even at that, it was a witness to him. I sang a song that those of you who are about my age probably know. It's an Amy Grant song called If These Walls Could Speak. I'd been a member of that church almost all my life, and that song spoke from my heart to the church for their support and all the things that I had experienced in that building growing up. So he even used that. There was a point in time when I actually heard the voice of God. I can remember where I was. I can remember what I was doing. And he spoke peace into my life and reminded me how much he loved me. And even when I couldn't speak to anybody else, I had a running conversation with Heavenly Father. I didn't have to worry about making my tongue work. I didn't have to worry about getting the right words. He knew I was never alone. The other thing that happened is it has allowed me to authentically walk alongside others that have experienced the same or similar things. Each one of my uncles experienced a stroke, and I was able to step into that space with them and walk with them and encourage them. He allowed me, lastly, to have a front row seat in experiencing the rewiring of my brain. And for an educator, that was pretty cool. It was pretty amazing to watch my brain rewire and come back. I don't know any other way to say it. And how many times has God used unexpected events or situations to move people into places that he has for them that they otherwise might not go? I'm thinking about Moses. Moses goes from being a baby in a basket to almost like the son in the Pharaoh's house and finding favor to killing an Egyptian and fleeing to find himself as a contented herdsman. And then God got his attention in a big way, burning bush for a big job. And so from Exodus, I'm gonna look at chapter 4, verse 10 through 14. And I will tell you that Moses also played a pretty significant was an example for me in my life after I had my stroke. Because as I read these passages, you'll go, oh yeah, I can see why she thought that. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I've never been eloquent. Look at me. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to me, your servant, I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth." So, I don't think if God hadn't intervened in a big way, I don't think Moses on his own would have gone back to Egypt, right? He was contented. He was safe. He was good. What does that have to do with me? My professional experience has been the majority as an educator. I was 20 years as an elementary and middle school teacher. Yes, I did love middle schoolers. And almost 10 years as an elementary school principal. And being a teacher and being in education for me was not just a job. It was something I loved. It was something I was called to do. I mean, even when I was 25 years in, I mean, I could see the retirement part. I mean, the whole thing, that was my life. I was good at it. I loved my kids. I loved my families. It was my vocation. And then in 2015, I was going into year 4 as the principal at Kalama Elementary. Brad and I had been married for almost 4 years. And the spring of 2015, there had been some administrative changes. Superintendent was retiring. It's a small, you all know, Kalama, small. Superintendent was retiring. High school principal took a job in another district. The assistant superintendent, assistant principal for the junior high and high school went down, went to Castle Rock as a high school principal there. So guess who was left? I was left to kind of bear the weight and carry all the decisions that had been made in the previous administration. And I'm not gonna lie, there was some trepidation. There had been some parent upheaval about some decisions that had been made that affected the elementary school. They were district decisions, but as it goes, the principals usually need to answer to the individuals that they're serving for those decisions. So stress was a little high. And I thought, well, I'll just go back to teaching. I'll leave administration. I've taught in Kelso. I've taught in Longview. I'm going to apply for four jobs there. I applied for a number of positions and didn't get a call back. I was hurt. I'd served those districts for years. And I thought, okay, well, as much as that hurts, maybe I'm supposed to stay where I'm at. I'm supposed to just stay at Kalama, and this is okay, here we go. So by the October of that year, I found myself pulled over on the side of I-5 because I missed the exit to my school because I couldn't make myself get off the freeway. So I called my ever-loving husband and in tears and said, I can't make myself to go to school. He said, come home. Okay. So I came home. I spent 6 months in counseling with a therapy dog from the Humane Society, doing all the things, just defragging from a lot of stuff that had happened. And about 6 months in, Brad says, hey, I could really use some help with my real estate business. Mind you, I can't sell myself out of a box, so I'm not quite sure what he was thinking. But seriously, I can't. But I thought, well, I need something to do. I might as well get my license and go get edumacated. I can do that. So I dug in, and about 3 months later, got my real estate license, and joined Brad, and we were a pretty fantastic team together. We still are in our business. And the rest is really history in the making at this point. So what did God reveal to me in that session, that part of my journey? He can use our skills and times of preparation in ways we can't imagine. I never imagined that God would use me to teach and coach clients, to teach and coach agents, to have a business partner that we balance each other out. He's the kind of 100,000 foot level guy. We call him the idea monkey. And I'm the systems and organization piece. So I get to be the ringleader. But it works well for us. But I never would have gotten that opportunity if I had stayed in education. He will provide when he calls. He has taught me through our business that security is always in him. When you own your own business, you have no guarantee of what's going to come in the door. It is a faith walk, bar none. And when I left that job at Kalama, and you can imagine, it's an administrative job. It was pretty well paying. I left without a backup plan. And I'm the planner. I'm the one that has everything laid out. I left without a plan. And you know what? He carried us financially through every single thing. That's not a me thing, folks. That's a God thing. The last type of unexpected, because this is not really an event so much, but how often do we go through times of waiting? We feel we're called to something. We have something more that we want to do. We want to move somewhere. We want to build our business. All these things. The interesting thing about time is it's a very human constraint. It's not a God thing. Time has no meaning to him in that he's already present in our tomorrow. Isn't that a weird kind of concept to think about? He's omniscient. He knows yesterday, he knows tomorrow, and it's us that have had, that have the timepieces put in place so we can manage it. But his timing is not always our timing. This was brought to mind a lot in the last 18 months for me. I've thought about those Israelites in the wilderness. 40 years. Can you imagine being taken out to a desert place? You have few, if any, of your belongings. You know you're headed somewhere, but how long is it going to take? And the first thing we do, they do, I do, is complain. Where's our manna? Where's our food? He provided food. How are we going to get there? Who's leading? Column of fire, column of clouds. All these things every day that made Heavenly Father evident to those Israelites, and still their hearts were hardened. How many of you have ever had a conversation like this? Hey, God, this is how things would work best for me. Would you bless it, please? Or, why aren't you listening and answering me? A number of times in our business, like I said, this has occurred. When we've been seeking, for example, individuals for the right leadership position in our business, or seeking financial help, or seeking business partners. But God has been so faithful to bring us to the other side every time. I have to tell you that this became implanted in my brain when a number of us from the board were coming back from a missions conference down in Salem in February. And we were going through seeking a business partner. Things were really kind of tough. And it'd been tough for 6 months. Now, mind you, it's not 40 years, but 6 months can sometimes feel like a really long time, right? Especially when you're in the middle of it and it's hard. And I remember Bob was driving and I was sitting in the front seat, and I just realized as I looked back on the past 18 months that every time we had thought, oh, here's the answer, it fell apart. And then something new would come in to play, and oh, this is the answer, and it would fall apart. And as I was sitting in the van that day, I realized that we'd come out on the other side, that our business had picked up enough that having the business partner wasn't going to be the answer necessarily right then. But God gave us moments to be able to hold on and hope to get us to that next place, just like he did with the Israelites in different ways. So each of these experiences, God has revealed things to be about myself and about his love and his care and his compassion for me, though I often needed to be able to have some space and time to be able to look back and realize that, because it's hard in the middle and it doesn't feel good. While unexpected makes me think of big life events, I think we have unexpected in our lives every day, don't we? Things that pop up that we don't anticipate. So I have a couple final takeaways for you that I would encourage you to just think about. See if any of these fit well for you. I've learned that in any circumstance, we have a choice to react or respond. What's the difference? When we react to a person or a situation, it's usually instantaneous and it's very emotionally charged. If you think about, I'll bring it back to a parenting piece or a grandparenting piece. Disciplining, you know, trying to get a child to go the way they should go. You're interacting with them. How many times have I told you to pick up your clothes in your room? So when I'm reacting that way to something that has occurred with my child, they're not focused on the situation. They're focused on my emotion, so nothing gets resolved. When I react, I'm saying things like, why me? This isn't fair. You should or shouldn't have done this or such. And we react out of anger, out of grief, out of hurt, out of anxiety, out of uncertainty. Now, don't get me wrong. Our God is big enough to hold all of that. He is big enough. But hopefully we can get to a place where we respond. What do you have for me to learn? And by the way, it's not always a lesson because we're not good enough or we're being bad or we've done something wrong. That's not the God that we serve. How will you use this in me to help others now or in the future? And that's usually based off of more of a frame of mind of thoughtfulness and acknowledging that I have very little control over my life or anything in it, really. There's one person I can control, and that's me. That's really hard for a control person who wants to take care of everything else around them. And yet, we have a God that's big enough to do that, and he will honor any questions we have of him. The second thing is, I think that God uses small and large unexpecteds in our life, but the big ones are always the ones that stick out the longest. Have you noticed that when you look back over life? And for those of you who are young in the room, I know you don't probably have very many monuments left yet, but you will. I think about the Israelites, and they were getting ready to enter Canaan and cross the Jordan River, and the Lord once again parts the waters and his instructions about that. And I have to tell you, I remember this piece from a sermon that Judy Wright gave a number of years ago, and she talked about monuments, and I've taken that with me. In Joshua 4, 1 through 7, it talks about creating monuments out of stone. He had the leaders of each tribe gather from the middle of the river a stone, and they created a monument after they went through that water to remember God's love and faithfulness. It allows us to look back on the past when we do that in our own lives and be reminded of God's faithfulness and that he will continue to be faithful. Have you made time to think about all the monuments in your life? It might not be a bad idea to take a little time and write down through your life where God's shown up, so that when you encounter another unexpected, you have a place to refer to. The third thing is that in those unexpected times, I needed to learn to lean on people around me that I know, love, and trust. And when you are fiercely independent, as our society kind of thinks that we should be, right? We follow along with that. That's really hard to do, to show weakness, to show fragility. But through the things that I experienced, I had people that encouraged me to talk, even when my language was stilted or I couldn't get the words. I'm going to tell a story on my mom. She probably did the hardest thing ever as a mother after I had my stroke. She left. She went on a trip that she had planned. And as much as her desire was to stay and help me, she knew she needed to go because I needed to learn how to do it. Even then, I had people that encouraged me as I started a new career in my 50s. That's not generally the time that you want to start a new career. And people that reminded me that in the middle of hard things, God didn't bring us this far to drop us on our butts. He's there with us all the time. God can and will use any and every experience we have to bring glory to himself. And then give us the gift to walk alongside others with authenticity when they are experiencing something similar. I've already talked about my stroke and being able to walk alongside others with the same condition. Even as recently as 2 months ago, I met somebody that I knew in the store who had had a stroke. And he asked me, "Marianne, what advice would you give?" And I was able to say, "Be honest and just let people know that you're struggling and it's okay." I've heard about others that have changed careers because they watched what I was able to do. Inspire others to have confidence and change. And that led me to a place that has allowed me to impact others in our community in a different and beautiful way. He equips us to do whatever is next. In our business circumstances, man, he has taught me the importance of being on my knees. On my knees. Every day. And a constant reminder that he has the biggest picture, the perfect timing, and the biggest and the best business plan. After all, he is the original landowner. So we'll just go with that. And at the end of it all, James 1:2-4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Bless you. You know, it's really important that we remember that the unexpected that come into our lives are not a punishment, or because we aren't enough, or because Jesus doesn't love us. Having our Christian card doesn't make us immune from the fallen world, but I often forget that my lens is minuscule and that his is perfect, omniscient, backward and forward in time. It doesn't mean that living through these things is not hard. It is. And the outcomes are sometimes not what we want or think or we think should happen or are the best. And again, do I believe that God truly loves me and wants the best for me? If so, I'm called to have faith through all the situations. And I may even be given the gift at some point of seeing how he used me to glorify him and bless others. I choose to believe that Jesus loved and loves me enough to die for me and each one of us, and that he is our constant companion, even when we're going through hard and painful times. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for each individual in this room this morning, the impact that they have had on my life. Many of them don't even know. I thank you for the people who've gone before us that have experienced things that allow us to lean into them when we're going through hard things as well. And Lord, I just thank you for the gift of community and how we can lean into one another, and we are not in this life alone. We praise you and thank you in your heavenly name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out our podcast. You can learn more or connect with us online at easthills.org.